This is a replay of the Wednesday night, July 15th WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call, and I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday, evenings from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip. For the best deal and good customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
I'm Raleigh James. We have 3 hours to spend together, and as far as I'm concerned, thank God we're not on television. Yeah, this was one of these things where I decided I was going to make sure I did my show prep, meaning eat before I get on the air. Yeah, well, just as the opening notes of doo-doo-doo-ba-ah started, headphones right in the tomato sauce. So, yeah, all right, I'm kind of dripping, but as I say, so glad you can't see me. I think I sound fine, and that's all that matters. Before we get to Brian, and then to Jim, and then to Mike, and I say it just like that because Brian hung on almost 3 hours yesterday, and Jim hung on at least an hour and a half, and Mike was in there too, and I apologize for that. But bear in mind, before you curse me out for it, remember I pay by the minute for every call you make. So I get my own problems when I don't get to you quickly enough. So that's my own punishment. All right. Now, before we do, though, the FCC has authorized experimental satellites. I shouldn't say plural. Satellite, one of them. All right. Now, normally we wouldn't discuss what the FCC was doing, and we're really not as far as that goes. We're going to discuss what the satellite is doing. Yeah, when I read this article, skimmed this, I thought to myself, what could possibly go wrong? So here is the deal. A company called Reflect Orbital applied for authority to deploy and operate a satellite designed to reflect sunlight back onto the Earth after dark. And so they got the approval for one experimental spacecraft, and the FCC was absolutely, what should we say, transparent in saying that they were not discussing whether the company should do this, but whether technically it could happen. So, yeah, there's many people already who are saying no way, and other people saying, wait a minute, private company, political context, corporate connections. Well, never mind that. Let's just, right? Yeah, that's just part of it. Let's get to the company's ambitions and uses of technology. Yes, Reflect Orbital was undeniably enthused about the ruling, and so they however, expressed great restraint, saying it built safeguards into the satellite and would collect real-world data before expanding. What? So, Reflect's first demonstration satellite, Arendil 1. Okay, the name comes from a Tolkien novel right there. right there, it should be somewhat worrisome. It will fly about 625 kilometers, that's about 388 miles above Earth, with a deployable reflector made from highly reflective thin film, about 18 meters, which would be about 60 feet, on each side. And it will be motorized, it will be steerable, and as I say, the license at this point covers only one satellite for 2 years. And Reflect, for their part, says they expect a year of operations followed by less than a year of deorbiting. And they say they'll carry propulsion for collision avoidance with something. Yeah, and so, emerging technology. So what are they doing, right? And they're billing their services as the future of sunlight, where their technology and their satellite will redirect sunlight from orbit to any precise location on Earth. It claims that customers could switch the beam off, adjust its brightness, direct it precisely without installing any infrastructure on the ground. Like I say, what could go wrong? The company promises precise, uniform delivery, describes the system as sustainable, responsibly deployed. It isn't even deployed yet, responsible or not. So they're presenting sunlight as a commodity available at a chosen place, intensity, and hour. And so they've got an interactive explore feature that makes their vision more concrete. A user can move a broad beam of light right now across a map and direct it toward a specific location. So you can kind of get an idea how it will work or not. And the image resembles an aerial searchlight, really, more than anything sweeping the ground at night. It's meant to convey convenience, but it's conveying a lot of disquietude among those who are looking at it. And so what are they saying this could work for? Disaster response, industrial work, agriculture, public events, urban lighting, military operations. And what happens if it's in the wrong hands? Well, that's not there. They didn't touch on that near as I could say. So this is a much larger, the company says, energy argument. The world must produce vastly more energy than ever before at a global scale, so they're going to give you sunlight 24 hours a day. And it's an ambitious pitch, and you can read all about it, but they've got the right to deploy one. Yes, stay tuned. All right, so I'm sure you can go to the company website if you want to learn more about it, but there's no shortage of people who are a lot more worried than I am about it. Actually, when I saw it, I said, oh, great, that's a show starter. Yeah. Whether it's an earth stopper, I don't know. All right, so 888-876-5593. We'll get to Brian in a minute, and then Jim, and then Mike. But right now, before we do anything else, before I forget, I want to mention the Sea Crane Company's got a really good deal now. They have their orphans on sale, and their orphans are on sale already. So this is like a double sale. And what it is, when you go to the Sea Crane Company, which, if you're a radio fan, you know ccradio.com. I'll tell you what, more products with great radio reception than you're going to find anywhere else. No matter what it is, that's the commonality. They all just have terrific AM and FM reception, but many other features as well. Rarely, but it happens, somebody gets an item and returns it. Now, when that happens, the Sea Crane Company cleans it, inspects it, tests it, and offers it at a discount price. You still get the same 60-day money-back guarantee as if it were a new product, so you get all the support and all of that. But right now, the orphans, open box, if you will, are on a deeper discount. So their sale price has a discounted sale price. And this is a good deal. It's this week only. So I have a lot of people who say, you know, I love the Sea Crane products, but they're just a little out of my budget. And I understand that, believe me. And they range, frankly. But if you've been looking at one and you've been saying, I'd love this, but I'd like it at a better price, this is to go check out the orphans. Now, there's not an orphan for everything, obviously, but for more than you know. So go to ccradio.com. In fact, while we're talking, I will look at that as we speak and see what I see in orphans. But it's a great way to get a terrific product at a better price. And, I mean, the stuff is priced fairly, as I'm concerned, but nonetheless, there's a situation where, you know, some people's budget just doesn't allow for certain things, and I get that. So the CC Wi-Fi 3, is on sale. SkyTune Bluetooth receiver. The Wi-Fi 3 is great. We've talked a lot about that, so that's a good deal. Now, in terms of other stuff, that was the first thing I saw, but there's many others as well. Oh, the CC Radio 2E, that's what I keep by my bedside, and that's a nice deal. And also the Pocket Radio, and the CC3 and a lot more. So go to ccradio.com, ccradio.com. By the way, if you want the CC Solar, there's only one of those left as an orphan. So good price. You know, you can look at the website and see the regular price and also see all the features and all that. Then go to the orphans and see what kind of a deal you can get. Good sales. All right. So that's ccradio.com, ccradio.com. Best thing to do is go online. But if for some reason you can't, they have terrific customer service and they can walk you through whatever it is, tell you what you can get. And that is 800-522-8863. 800-522-TUNE. They'll answer all your questions. And like I say, they'll walk you through it if you can't go online. But if you can, this is a great time to save on quality products. But again, not all that many orphans, because people usually keep what they get. So it's first come, first serve. So check it out. CCRadio.com. You tell them Raleigh sent you from WGN Radio.
You give your hand to me, and then you say hello, and I can hardly speak. My heart is beating so, and anyone can tell. You think you know me well, but you don't know me. No, you don't know the one who dreams of you at night and longs to kiss your lips and longs to hold you tight. Oh, I'm just a friend, that's all I've ever been, 'cause you don't know me. For I never knew the art of making love, though my heart aches with love for you. Afraid and shy, I let my chance go by, a chance that you might love me too.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and yeah, Ray Charles did that song proud, that's for sure. Eddie Arnold wrote it with Cindy Walker, but Ray Charles did it on ABC Paramount in 1962, and it was Linda in Richland Park who requested that we play it, and it was my pleasure to do so. All right, so all that out of the way, and right over to Brian, who, like I say, almost 3 hours last night. So, well, right over to Brian, let me find the magic twanger here. Yep, show barely begun and already out of control. So nothing new there. Brian, welcome back to WGN Radio.
I'm glad to finally make it through, Raleigh.
Absolutely.
Last night's show would have been beautiful if I hadn't been fired up about wanting to make my own comments. Because normally when your four or five unscheduled guests come on, it's some of the best radio you ever do.
Well, thank you. So tell me about your comments. We're talking about the college majors and what they'll pay.
Yes. Before we get to that, may I make a quick comment on the satellite?
Yeah, what do you think?
I think it's a scam.
Ooh, that'll be interesting.
Because try this. If you don't have anything better to do with your daylight time, go out in your yard with a mirror and aim the mirror towards your patio.
Uh-huh.
You're going to quickly discover that if you want full-value sunlight, you have to have a panel roughly the size of the amount of the area that you want to cover with the light.
Yeah.
And if you notice, the moon doesn't really give you a lot of light. Part of that is focusing because it's a big round ball.
Right.
But have you noticed that the moon is not exactly small?
Well, right.
If you could bring it down, you couldn't put it in your garage.
No, it's very small compared to the sun, but yes, it's bigger than anything we've got here in our garage, yes.
Yeah, and I don't see them putting up a satellite that big, because the biggest problem the satellite could potentially cause would be running into other satellites and causing them to not work as well as they should have.
Yeah, well, we'll have to check what Reflect Orbital is. You know, if it's a scam, then we need to know who the investors are, because that's who would get scammed, I suppose.
It might not be an intentional scam, but there's always somebody out there who wants to be on the next big, great thing. And if you actually get the next big, great thing, you might eventually make money. But then again, for every Tesla Motors, there are 5,000 others who thought they had the next big great who didn't quite make it all the way.
Well, we'll see how this goes. I know astronomers already are just up in arms over this because they're saying, well, we won't have the dark sky anymore. I'm like, it's not that big. We'll see.
And but then they're also, you know, they've got they do have a legitimate complaint, the astronomers do, because a truly dark sky is a lot harder to find than it used to be.
Oh, of course that's true. Absolutely.
Not necessarily a bad thing, but it is a very bad side effect of a good thing being prosperity.
There you
are. We don't have to live like the 1300s.
So back to prosperity and college degrees. Talk, talk, talk.
Exactly. This comes, first off, during the 1950s, the high school graduation rate overall in the United States was roughly 60%.
Okay.
So a lot of these college degrees are actually tailored for the people who in the 1950s would have been hiring people with high school diplomas.
Right.
That's not counting studio arts, dramatic, anything that says arts and farts, you're guaranteed poverty.
Uh-huh.
It's like Dionne Warwick and Burke Bacharach and Hal David said, do you know the way to San Jose?
Yeah.
For the communications technology, once again, that's a Jell-O degree. It doesn't really mean anything. Anthropology and archaeology. The only thing those are good for, beyond those generic degree in something that isn't a political grift, it's good for that job as a McDonald's or a Wendy's manager.
Now, it's also, by the way, it's got a couple other uses. It's good for
being an anthropologist or an archaeologist.
Well, no, well, usually not with a bachelor's degree. But that bachelor's degree will do two things for you. It'll get you into the FBI because they don't care what you major in. You just have to have graduated if that's where you want to go. And it will also get you to be an officer in the military if that's where you want to go. But as far as a career in it, just like psychology, no one with a bachelor's in psychology is making a career out of it.
Exactly. And that was the point I was going to make with that, particularly in fields of psychology and anything to do with education.
Yeah.
You can do some casework and that for government agencies as a bachelor's degree. But unless you got it as an adjunct, you know, something to break the trend of everybody's getting a law enforcement degree to join the FBI or the local police department, the bachelor's degree in psychology is to build on to get your master's degree so you can practice psychology under a different name, or you get your doctorate in psychology so you can actually hang up your shingles to show enough he can call himself a psychologist.
Yeah. You're right about all that, and the bottom line, again, is if you're wanting to pay six figures, hopefully you're not doing that thinking that this is going to get you good income on the job front. And that's what changed since the 50s. While, yeah, it was probably a 60% graduation rate, a lot of those kids also went into trade and tech schools, you know, learned welding or plumbing or something. And there, ever since the 60s, has been a real de-emphasis on that.
Or they learned that in high school.
Yeah, well, right. Right.
My particular high school used to have a stellar reputation for producing some of the best welders in North Central Illinois. And that was with a high school degree. You could graduate from Seneca High School and get on to work with Caterpillar or John Deere, and you were worth the paycheck from the first day you showed up.
True enough. And it didn't cost you a thing.
Exactly. And now to teaching, and I will have a couple of requests before we ring off, but teaching, very, very few people in teaching settle for a bachelor's degree in education with the area of concentration and so on. First off, they do have continuing education they have to do no matter what in order to keep their license. Second off, there are actually five states in the union, and I did not bother to write the list down, Illinois is not one of them, but there are five states where you lose your teaching license if you do not get your master's degree in education within a period of something like 5 to 10 years.
Hang on a minute. Don't go away. We're in the middle of the news. I forgot all about it. Stay where you are. And we'll pick it up after the news right here on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and it was Robert and LaGrange who wanted to hear it. 1958 on Time. Very controversial song. Bell Notes, I've had it. Not for anything in the record, but the facts behind it are in doubt. Now, was it recorded at WGBB in Long Island, or was it recorded in Times Square? All right, that's one of the discrepancies. But the other thing is, who wrote it? And the reason I ask that is Ellie Greenwich claimed that she was an 18-year-old teenager going to the dances on Long Island and that she wrote it. Well, the band members say, no, we wrote it. And in fact, the lyrics are credited and the song to Carl Benora and Ray Cerrone, who both were in the group. So one thing that is not in doubt is that the guy who really spearheaded the group to the success that they had over the few years that they were around was Alan Fredericks on WADO. So there you have I Had It, more than you've ever wanted to know. And back to Brian in Seneca. Closing arguments, Brian.
Yes, a quick thought on the anthropology degree. Chicago's most famous anthropology graduate is the media personality Ro Khan, who was on radio for a number of years, but he is now a sworn deputy and director and senior project manager for the Cook County Sheriff's Police, where he specializes in crime analytics, vehicle hijackings, and roadway shootings.
All right. Well, that sounds quite exciting, maybe more so than talk radio. Good luck to him.
Yes. Back to teaching. As I mentioned before the news break, there is every possible pressure in the world for a teacher with a bachelor's degree to get their master's degree and, in some cases, go on to get their doctorate. The public school systems, even the ones that will keep a bachelor's degree only teacher until retirement, that teacher falls into two categories. Number one, too busy helping students. Number two, mailing it in. Otherwise, they all get their master's degree, say that three times fast, somewhere between 5 and 10 years after they've graduated teaching college and took their first teaching position with a local school district.
Now, the interesting thing, of course, is that they're very loose on what they consider an accredited institution. There's a lot of online-only schools that they include in this list that you wonder about. But I know New York, Connecticut, Maryland, and Massachusetts do have that requirement.
Yes, and furthermore, if a teacher wants to become a principal or a superintendent, or even in some cases a dean of students. The dean of students is kind of a vague position, but for a principal and superintendent, there are separate master's degrees for running a school.
I'm not even going to comment on any of this because it'll get very political very quickly, so I'll just say thank you.
Taking the politics and the quality of education in the field of education, nobody sticks around 10 years in education with only a bachelor's degree unless they go immediately to work for the parochial schools where there is no pressure and there is also virtually no paycheck.
All right.
Because you're competing against nuns. Now, my request.
Oh, yes, sir.
I wanted the Beach Boys when I grew up to be a man.
Okay.
And the second request is actually a pair of requests in honor of the late Randolph Mantooth, one of the stars of the TV show Emergency, who passed on earlier this month.
Okay.
One of his big co-stars was Julie London.
Ah.
Who played Nurse Dixie McCall.
Mm-hmm.
And looked hotter in her 50s than some girls looked when they were in high school. I was one of those many young boys who had the platonic crush on Dixie McCall when Emergency was in first run.
Absolutely, and now, at the time she was married to Bobby Troup. Yep.
Oh yeah, she remained married to Bobby Troup for a long time, and Bobby Troup was also on the show.
Yes, exactly.
And their friend was the second doctor on Emergency, who actually showed up more, and the chemistry between that actor and McCall helped make the hospital side of the show work that much better. Now, Julie London was famous before as a singer in her own right. Her biggest song was Cry Me a River,
right,
which is the second request. And the third request that needs to be played right next to Cry Me a River is commonly called the Julie London The Man I Love outtakes. As far as I've been able to find, although I will clearly concede that I'm probably wrong, the version of The Man I Love that they were trying to record during all those outtakes never actually made it on the vinyl. It might have. But either way, listening to Julie London and her producer and the other musicians try to hammer through this song is pure comedy gold.
Yep. No, I actually have that, and it's also on YouTube. But that was I've got that, so I can do that. And of course, Bobby wrote Julie as her name for her, and her version or any of that, I don't care. But man, Renee Touzette, that used to be my closing theme every night, so I'll be indebted for that.
You might throw that in as a fourth request.
Okay.
You can never get enough Julie London.
Well, true enough.
And of course, Bobby Troup is most famous for writing the song Route 66.
Yeah, right, exactly.
When he and his wife, who was not Julie London at the time, drove out from Chicago to California to make their fortune and have Bobby Troup get too interested in Julie London and see his previous marriage grenade.
Well, yeah, but remember, she was married, too. And, you know, her first husband was good old Joe Friday.
Jack Webb.
Yeah, exactly. Jack Webb, yeah. And they remained friendly after that, all of them. So, and anyway.
Very friendly because Jack Webb was the producer for Emergency.
Yep, I know. Okay, good deal. Thanks.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. All right, so 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh. And the second person who was hanging on for quite a while last night was Jim. Now let me find the magic twanger. Here we are. Gee, and it doesn't even have tomato sauce on it. Amazing. Let's check out what's happening in Richmond, Wisconsin. Hello, Jim. Welcome back to WGN.
Hey, Raleigh. Thank you for taking my call. I know I haven't called for a while, and I have many opinions what was said tonight and the last few nights, because I've been listening all along, but I'm not going to get to that right now. I just wanted to tell you what's an update and a suggestion for Cindy. And the update is I had my two doctor's appointments today. And did you ever drive in 90-some degree temperature in a car that has no air conditioning and all the windows open?
Unfortunately, I've had to do that in 120 degrees when our AC has failed in Arizona, so I feel your pain.
Right. That's what my brother and I had to do today.
Yep.
And I think I might have had heat stroke by the time we got home because I didn't feel well, ended up in the bathroom.
Well, it wouldn't be heat stroke, which, by the way, I've had, so I'm semi-expert at this, but heat prostration, which is the step before heat stroke. Did you find that you had a very rapid but weak pulse? And I mean very
no,
rapid.
No, I didn't have that. All I knew is I was so cramped up when I got home.
That's just uncomfortable. I mean, that's not good. I'm not saying that's nice, but that's
right.
just uncomfortable. All right.
But that's the funny part. So today we went to both doctors, and in a good way, my pressures were 11 and 21.
Okay.
And I was happy about that. And then the one doctor, I said to him, what about my right eye? He says, go talk to the other doctor. I'm not handling that. So I got a shot of Kenalog in my left eye, but he tells me, oh, it's clear. It's not swollen at all. But he gave me the steroid anyways, and I wasn't happy about that.
Huh.
But I couldn't, you know, tell him that, you know, because, you know, he's the specialist.
Okay.
And so then when I talked to the other doctor, he looked at my right eye, and he goes, boy, is that bloodshed. And I go, yeah, I've been rubbing the heck out of it for the last, you know, several days, and it tears up all the time. And he gave me some lubricant, you know.
Okay.
I dropped to, you know, take off that.
Yeah.
And he gave me two bottles of that.
Okay.
And he said, try using that and see if that helps.
Okay.
So I was happy about that, and I was happy about the pressures. But here is the funny things that happened after that. In 3 weeks, it's my birthday. I turned 73.
Oh,
and then my
happy.
And my right, thank you. And my driver's license is going to expire.
Uh-oh.
So I asked my brother, can you take me? And I've been having a lot of trouble with remembering things. And it used to be wherever you told me, I would remember that, you know, tremendously. I couldn't even think of a town that's right by my, in my area, by my house.
Well, wait. Let's pause a moment. There's no way with your vision you can get that renewed, is there?
Oh, no.
Okay.
But I'm going to tell you the joke about that.
Okay.
But anyways, I could not think of the town I wanted my brother to take me to.
Right.
And that's just like 10 miles from my house.
Mm-hmm.
And it took 2 hours for me to remember that it was Elkhorn.
Okay.
And I've been very frustrated about remembering things like an actor's name or stuff like that.
Yeah.
And in the past, if I heard it, I could see it. So that was been frustrating me lately. So he stopped off by the DMV by his house in Kenosha, and we walked in. And by the way, after getting a shot and after being dilated, I cannot see a thing, you know. And he's 6'5", and I'm 5'10". And he's telling me, walk faster. And I go, I can't.
No.
I can't keep up with your stride.
Right.
And, you know, and we walk in, and it was so funny. And I said, give me my driver's license, and he's holding it. I said, give me my driver's license. So I walk up to the counter, and I go to the lady. I have my white cane in front of me. I go, hi, I want to renew my driver's license. And she goes, would you rather have a state ID?
Right, exactly. Right.
And I started laughing. And then she goes, okay, here's these forms you have to fill out. I go, wait a minute. I did this in 08. And, you know, I'm a citizen and all that. I got my star and my and my hologram and my driver's license. Also, things might have changed. You have to fill this out.
Right.
My brother goes, you know he can't see.
Right.
So my brother, you know, we had to go to this table to start filling out. He goes, okay, what's your address?
Right.
And I'm telling him. And then he finally says, what's your Social Security number? And I go, you know, he has a deep voice. You can hear him 3 blocks away. And I go, I had the pull him over to the side, whisper in his ear, and give him my
right.
Social Security number because everybody's listening.
Right. Of course.
And he goes, what's your sex? What do you mean, what's my sex?
Yeah.
You know? I said, put down M, you know?
Right.
And he was just teasing the hell out of me. And then he couldn't write out my birth date, you know, 08, 05, 1953. And, you know, and he scratched it off and rewrote it again, you know. So then he goes, okay, you have to sign this. And I go, yeah, right. So I have this blue card that has a slot in it so that I can sign my name in there.
Right.
And then he goes, okay, here's another form. You have to sign this. I said, this is crap because they're not going to match, you know, the signatures because I don't know what I'm signing because I can't see it. So then we go up to sit down and stuff. And they go, come up and we're going to take your picture. And because I've been dilated had a shot in my eye, I can't see. So he's pushing me. I go, cut it out, you know?
Yeah.
And then I finally went to they took the picture. And then he goes, okay, you got to sign here. I go, come on. So I signed there, you know? And then finally they call you up and you have to go to the desk. And they said, okay, this is all good. Here, sign here. And I go, come on. So I go on the way home, I go to my brother. You know, each one of those signatures aren't going to match because I don't know what I'm signing.
Doesn't matter.
Right. And I was laughing. And they said, okay, in 10 days you'll get your license. And it was just so, you know, frustrating. And I turned to my brother and I go, because he had to lead me all around where we were going. By the way, he only walked me into one post, you know, because I teased him about that. You always walk me into a post, you know, but that was because it was a narrow highway. And, you know, and I said, you walked me into a post again. Well, I'm sorry, you know, and because we've been together since we were born and he teases me all the time. And he was talking to his friend on the phone, and he goes, "Stop teasing your brother," you know.
Well, at least you gave entertainment to the people waiting at the DMV.
Right, and they were laughing.
Yeah,
they were laughing when I said I want to renew my driver's license.
Right, of course. So you're not getting a license, but you are getting a very nice ID card.
Right, and that will be in 10 days.
Yes,
and then, and on the way home, and I go, if I have to be this where I have to be let alone, read around, you know, holding on to somebody, I don't want that. He goes, what are you going to do, commit suicide? You know, and I go, no, you know. And then, and that was the day. And like I said, driving around in a car when it's 95 degrees out, you know, with no air conditioning.
I can relate. Yes, I can relate.
So then there's a lot of stuff that you've been talking about on the radio, and then I wanted to say something to Cindy.
All right, well, hang on. Don't say it yet. Let me do this, get another bumper in. We'll find out what Jim wants to say to Cindy. We also have Mary Ann. We got Mike. We got Clayton, and there's room for you on WGN Radio. Huh. Adam. Earth to Adam. All right, well, I'll just keep talking. Never mind. I don't know. I just don't know. So back to Jim here. We'll just talk for a few minutes, and eventually Adam will realize that there is a break involved here. So what are you saying to Cindy?
Thank you for taking my call. That was a joke.
Yeah.
For Cindy, I think she should get a CGM, Continuous Glucose Monitor. She can either get that through Medicare, or she could get that through a prescription from her doctor.
Yeah, but she can't get that unless she's taking insulin.
No, you can still get it because they give it to type 2 diabetes according to the commercials.
I understand to the commercials, but when you try to get it, that's the first question the Medicare questionnaire is going to ask is whether you're on insulin. Then you're going to be paying for it.
Right, but the thing is, you can get it through your insurance.
Well,
it's gone through a prescription. And what it is, like I have I have the Libre 3 Plus sensor. And then if she has a cell phone, you can get the app on cell phone.
Of course.
And you don't have to be on insulin to get it.
Yeah. Okay, here's the deal. If you're not on insulin, what has to happen, and you have to have a doctor willing to do this, is they have to certify and sign that you have a history of problematic low blood pressure, hypoglycemia. If they won't do that, and if you're not on insulin, you are paying it out of pocket.
Right.
So I can
get two sensors with using single care through the pharmacy for $29.
Yep. Well, great.
They are
really good. Now, there's been some problems with them, but for the most part, they're really good.
Right. But I'm just saying, even if she has to pay out of pocket $29 a month, because they're 15 days, is a lot better than, you know.
And I'm sure she's listening, and now she's heard. And I'm glad it's working for you, Jim. And I'm glad it was at least a humorous day, albeit a hot one. So we'll say see you later, and maybe Adam's around. Okay, thanks. Appreciate it, Jim.
I have another thing to tell you.
Uh-oh. Well, then, if you have another thing to tell me, hang on. I got to see if Adam is back in action, because I think we have another break coming.
I'm here.
Okay, we do have another break coming up. We'll continue after the news on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Robbie James. And yes, Jamestown Massacre, that's local, to say the least. And that was a request that Ken in Chicago had quite a while ago. They were from Downers Grove. And in fact, they had a couple lead singers, Vic Comforte, but also Dave Bickler. Now, what's interesting, Dave Bickler was on Summer Sun. But just as the song came out in 72, and originally on the Love label out of Detroit, where the songwriter Tom Powers was based at the time, before Warner Brothers picked up Summer Sun, Dave Bickler left. I think he was going to do jingles or something here locally or whatever. And then, of course, Survivor. So you'll remember him from Eye of the Tiger. But Summer Sun, that was Ken's request, and hopefully he heard it. So 888-876-5593. Wrapping it up with Jim, you said you had one more thing. What is it?
Yes, I wanted to let you know some wonderful news. 40-something people do not call, but... my son, his wife, and Rock were going to check out their, they told me they were going to check out their house in Palm Bay in Miami. And I text them today, and I go, how does the house look and stuff? And they text me back, oh, we're almost done moving in. And I'm so frustrated that, and I said, can you please call me? And I didn't hear from them. I am so tired of, you know, what generation, if you're 40-some years old, you know, I don't know if that's Gen Z or whatever, do not call.
Yeah, the only advice I have for you, because as you've explained before, the relationship with your family is tenuous due to your ex-wife, is let them set the pace. If you come on hard, like, why don't you call or whatever, they're going to disappear. So don't.
I didn't say why don't you.
Yeah,
call?
But I mean, just call me. It's not, you know, just let them set the pace. You'll be very glad you did that, because otherwise they're going to hit a point where they just cut off communication.
Right.
So
and
keep
I'm
that in
so
mind.
Excited because. Yeah. And what do you think of the Palm Bay area that they're in?
No opinion either way. Why are they there, in Miami?
Because she, from the University of Madison in Wisconsin, she went there for her doctorate. So she has a doctorate in veterinary medicine. And what she told me through Texas is that they're looking for young people to move in that area.
Okay.
So they got this 5-bedroom, 2-story house, 3-car garage, and a big yard and, you know, fenced in and everything.
Yeah.
And they got that for $450,000 with no PMI, no down payment, because they want young people to move in that area.
That's great. I bet you there's a homeowners association, though.
Yeah, they do have.
Yeah, I know. Yep,
I told her to be afraid of that.
Yeah.
It's funny when they said 3-car garage, and I've been in a lot of homes in Florida. It's usually 2 cars and a garage for the golf cart, you know.
Palm Bay is a neighborhood of Miami. It's kind of on the water on Biscayne Bay, and I think there's about 8 acres that they call it that. And it used to be a yacht club, and in like '64 or so, because I remember when I drive by there, it was a yacht club. But then they built the first building in '65. Remember it well. And then they built 3 or 4 more since then. I think they built the next one in 72 and then in 82. And it ranges, but, you know, it's basically Miami, kind of North Miami off of Biscayne Boulevard and Biscayne Bay. So, yeah, if they like it, fine.
Right. And it's 170 miles from Miami. My son said.
Oh, now, wait a minute. That's not the same place. All right. Because if you're saying it's 170 miles from Miami, Palm Bay, because there's an area in Miami that is now called Palm Bay, and that's what I just described. That is not that is not 170 miles from Miami. That Palm Bay that you're talking about, that's Brevard County. That's like Cocoa, Titusville, Merritt Island area.
Right.
Yeah.
Because my daughter-in-law said that they're looking forward because they can see the space launches from where they're at.
They can, and they're about 75 miles southeast of Orlando. I know this area well, and that's not the same bay as Miami, same area as Miami's Palm Bay by a long shot. You know, it's not the kind of place that like has a historic downtown because it's kind of an invented city. But they're not far from Melbourne, and there's
That's what she said.
Yeah,
by Melbourne.
Right, absolutely. It should be relatively affordable, and if you like being near the Turkey Creek Sanctuary, you've got that, and she does all that kind of stuff. So you know, fishing on the Indian River and all that kind of stuff. As long as you got a car, it's not a walkable place.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm very excited for them, and I asked her to send me pictures.
Yeah.
You know,
I
said please send me pictures, and I'll have my friend Charlotte describe it to me.
Yeah, right.
And then I got like 7 pictures, you know, like 5 of them were from Rock.
Okay, well, good.
You know, pictures of my grandson.
All right, well,
and
excellent.
I want pictures of the house, you know.
Well,
so
maybe you'll get them.
That was great.
All right, good deal.
Great.
Well, it sounds like they're doing fine. Good to hear from you. Talk to you later, Jim. Thanks.
Okay,
all right,
bye.
So 888-876-5593. All right, yeah. That Palm Bay is actually pretty decent. Better than the one in Miami that basically used to be the Jockey Club or whatever. All right, so let's see. Marianne in Chicago, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh, how you doing?
All right, how about yourself?
Okay, me and Puddin' are doing fine.
Oh, good.
I don't know who trained her, but she's so smart.
Good.
I take her to my sister's grooming shop. It's on Cumberland between Lawrence and Montrose.
Uh-huh.
And take her in there and wait out in the car a little while, and my sister usually brings her out, but this time I brought her out. I'm walking to the parking lot, and her collar was not closed all the way.
Uh-oh.
And you know how busy Cumberland is.
So what happened? What happened?
First of all, I can't run after her, and I wouldn't because then they think it's a game.
Right.
I'm like, oh, my God, she's going right through the driveway of the parking lot.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I didn't see her. I go to the parking lot. Do you know she was sitting outside of our car right at the driver's door looking up?
Well, good.
I'm like, you are just too smart.
That's good.
But the reason I called was I was watching Family Feud a few weeks ago, and there was a young man on there from Atlanta.
Uh-huh.
And Steve said, what do you do in Atlanta? He goes, I'm a DJ at, I think it was K99.
Okay.
Is that right?
Well, at the time, it might have been. Interesting. So, okay. And he was on Family Feud?
Yeah, I was a contestant.
And so how old was that, like 1980s?
No, these are new ones.
They're doing new Family Feud?
Oh, yeah, they had Celebrity Family Feud the other night with the NFC and the AFC.
Now, are you sure he didn't say Q99? And that'd be Q99.7.
I don't know. It's been like a month.
Yeah, K99. Okay, well, no. Probably
I
heard is.
Like, oh my God, Raleigh's got to know about this.
Well, it's probably that thing that's on 99.1 now. I'll bet you. So, let me look. Atlanta Radio. I think that what would be called K99 would be 99.1. So, did he win?
I believe their team did.
All right.
But they had the NFC and the AFC on the other night.
Okay.
And they were all had Super Bowl rings, at least one. And Mike Singletary was there.
Okay.
And I had to ask my Alexa how tall he was, and she said 6 foot. And I'm like, holy cow, he barely reaches the shoulders of the other guys.
Huh.
I thought he was real itty-bitty.
I didn't know they brought this show back.
Yeah. It's on the recent reruns are on MeTV. Oh, no, I'm sorry, Game Show Network.
Okay.
And then every once in a while they'll have Family Feud fan favorites.
Uh-huh.
And it's like all these people giving really, really stupid answers. Like he'll say, what city has the most beaches in it? And the person says, California. The city of California.
Yeah, right, exactly. All right, I just tried to look it up, and I can't. 99.1 is religion now, so it's not that. And it's in Marietta, but that's what I was thinking of. But as far as I can tell you about Q99, which I thought in Atlanta, but not K.
Okay, I'm probably mistaken. Yeah. Q and K can sound alike when you don't hear well.
Yeah, that's WWWQ, and that I'm aware of, but not K.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's that 99.7. And Cumulus owns that at this point. So, yeah, they actually signed on, I think, in 63 as LTA. And then they were warm for a while. People in the Atlanta area would remember when they were warm. And a couple other things that don't matter. So that's about it.
Yeah, but that could come in handy in a trivia game.
Well, nobody will ask about it. But, yeah, when they signed on as WLTA, they were originally locally owned, and then Susquehanna bought them. But they were doing easy listening. Easy listening with Broadway show tunes. Who would care? And they changed formats, you know, a few dozen times after that. But Warm was probably the most notable of any of them. That's why I keep coming back to that. But I'm pretty sure they are Q99 now or, you know, something like that. And that's probably what it is.
Okay, well, you would know.
No, not necessarily. Oh. You know, I mean, asking me what's in Atlanta in 1961 got it down cold. You ask me what's in Atlanta now? Well, I try. But I'm pretty sure, just based on what we're talking about, that it is that that little station that, you know, started out as Easy Listening in 63. And I'll bet it's that. But, yeah, WLTA. But sure. So
That last bumper that you played?
Yeah, Summer Sun.
It sounded like Chicago.
Well, that's a compliment to them, I'm sure. They'd be proud. And Downers Grove, close enough.
Okay, well, I will let you get on to your next call.
All right, thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
And don't be such a stranger. You know, the phone goes each way.
No, it doesn't. Not in my life. The only way to get off my callback list is to die. So don't do it. All right.
Okay.
Thanks. Appreciate it. Yeah,
bye.
It happens more often than not. Like I say, still mourning Ray Smithers, and people from Chicago radio from the 60s and early 70s would remember Ray, and I miss him already, and my fault that I didn't call back. It was 2 years. All right, so let's see. Ken in Chicago, you heard your request.
I did, yeah. I requested that about 2 years ago, but better late than never.
No, I think it's in the last, I think it's in the last 6 months.
No, I'm just kidding. It's great.
Yeah,
I heard that. That's a great song.
Yes, it
terrible
is.
Title for the group, but yeah, they do sound like Chicago. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but a great song.
Yeah,
great. I didn't know it was 72.
Yes, Summer Sun. Yes, absolutely. And it was originally on this little label out of Detroit, Love, L-U-V, that no one knew. And as it started to gain traction, Warner Brothers picked it up and distributed it on Warner Brothers.
Did they do anything else?
Not that hit. They did other things, but not that hit.
Anything that sounds like Summer Sun?
I haven't heard all of it. You know, so you'd have to kind of guess, but yeah, why they named themselves after an Indian massacre, I don't know.
That was actually something that really happened. Yeah.
Well, of course it happened. Yeah, the 1600s. I mean, it's been a while.
Right.
Yeah.
Ask them why'd you name that? Yeah.
Yeah, but no, they were a Downers Grove group and just, you know, basically local stuff. But, you know, Dave Bickler, when he went on to Survivor, that was a pretty serious gig there. But Vic Comforti did some
of that. That's not my kind of music, Survivor.
Well, Eye of the Tiger was a big hit, bigger hit than...
I didn't know that was them.
Yeah.
I wanted to tell about the glucose monitor.
Yes.
I know something about it because my brother has it. Okay,
uh-huh.
It's about the size of a dime. It fits on your shoulder like a patch.
Or on your arm. Most people use it on their arm.
Upper arm.
Yep.
But it's got little electrodes.
Yep.
It pierces your skin just a tiny bit, so you get some fluids and blood.
Right. It doesn't feel bad. It isn't real deep. It doesn't feel bad. Yeah, I've got a few of them.
Yeah. So and it goes onto your app, but they're not always accurate.
No, well, they had the big deal, you know, on that recall. I mean, that we're talking now about the Freedom Libre.
Because my brother called me up and says, I got to have you drive me over to the emergency room. I go, why? My blood sugar is low. I go, how do you know?
Yeah.
He goes, because my monitor is showing it. I go, is there a battery or something? He goes, no, I just put a new one on there. I told him, go to the strips. Go back to the strips. It could be, a bad one. Turned out to be it was bad.
Right.
But here's the funny thing, Raleigh. He was feeling all the physical symptoms of low blood sugar.
Sure he was.
And
Hang on a minute. Don't go away. Stay right where you are. And you're 100% right about this. We'll talk about that coming up on WGN Radio.
Yes, I got on a city bus and found a vacant seat. I thought I saw my future. The street. I shouted to the driver, hey conductor, you must slow down. I think I see her. Please let me off the bus. Pushing through the crowd, trying to get to where she's at.
WGN Radio. I'm Robin James. That is just the best. I love love the lyrics, and I love singing it loud. So every time it comes on, as long as I'm alone, yeah, I'll absolutely sing Nadine. And that was Ralph in Rockford who requested that, and of course it was on the Chess label, and of course Chuck Berry wrote it. And it's funny because in the song he say, Nadine, is that you? But on the lyric on the label it says, Nadine, is it you? So not sure who came up with that. All right, so Ken in Chicago is back on WGN. You were saying?
Yeah, anxiety, the mind-body connection is very strong.
Yes.
As I was driving him, he kept checking his app. He goes, it's going down. And he kept on popping sugar cubes.
No.
Said, don't do that.
No.
Said, don't do that until you get to the hospital.
Yeah.
It could be defective.
Yeah.
But I just got it. It's brand new.
No.
But long story short, went into the emergency room. They found out blood sugar was fine. It was anxiety. He goes,
yeah.
But I felt all the symptoms. Sure you did.
That's right.
Have you ever felt before low blood sugar? He goes, yes. So your mind's bringing me back to that.
Yes.
The feelings are sending the signals back to the brain. It must be that. That's how powerful the brain is.
Yes.
And what anxiety can do.
You're 100% right about that. And I've told the story a few times before that one night John was away doing a shoot somewhere and I was on my own and I had an incident, we'll just say that. And so I make the mistake of going online, right, consulting Dr. Google. Never a good thing to do. So I'm reading.
Oh, yeah.
And as I'm reading the symptoms I'm getting, I have all of them, right? So, I mean, I'm practically panting like a St. Bernard as I'm reading along. Well, thank God I said that because the next thing I saw and it said, on symptoms, dull coat. I said, dull coat? And I realized I was reading about veterinary medicine. So,
well, that's okay. We're all mammals.
Yeah, right. Yeah, well, I don't think this applied, so I didn't have a dull coat. But in any event, yes, you absolutely, your mind is so powerful. And I wish there was a way to fully harness this because that body-mind connection, you know, you'll read all the Louise Hay stuff and you realize that your mind controls everything. But, geez, it's hard to, you know, cure yourself of things. But on that Libra, by the way, there was a big recall on that for exactly what
I have to ask my brother if he had
exactly
that
what you're talking about. Was a big deal where oh man, I don't know the number of meters, but it was a lot, and it was just for that. It was a class one recall, which is the most serious kind of recall there was, and it was for Freestyle Libra 3 plus sensors, and they were falsely registering low blood glucose readings, which, of course, just like your brother, led to people taking more sugar and more this and all that.
Right.
And so,
he threw away the strips. I go, no. Always have the strips as a backup.
Right. Well,
so when we got home, we took the strips. It was normal.
Right. And
it can't be. I just put a new one on.
Yeah. No.
You know?
Absolutely. The strips are a good fallback as long as you realize that the strips have inherently a 10%. Swing of what they'll register. So if you get something where you say it's really high or it's really low on a strip, take out another strip and do it again. You're going to find out it's different.
Right. Now, about paying for it, anybody can get it. Your doctor has to write a prescription. All right, that's fine. Think, who pays for it? your health care plan or out of pocket? It all depends. Your doctor or your pharmacist will tell you that.
Right.
Or
and
you can get...
You're absolutely right about that. But for the most part, if you're on insulin, there's no question. They'll pay for it. If you're not, as long as your doctor's willing to say you have trouble with hypoglycemic events and all that, they usually will as well.
Right. And it all depends on what kind of health care you got.
Oh, yeah.
You pay what out of pocket. He says you can write to the company, and they'll give you a voucher.
Right.
A voucher. I guess that helps pay for it or something like that.
Yeah, absolutely. No, they're good about that. If you're going to be paying it on yourself, you will get some of that stuff. And it's Abbott.
Right.
Abbott is the manufacturer of that. So you can call Abbott Customer Service, and they absolutely.
So technology, I go always go. You know, when your electricity goes out, go back to the oil lamp.
Well, right,
because
and you know. What's really sad
the past
about
this again?
Right. What's really sad about this is that as soon as Abbott issued that that recall, you already had law firms, you know, if you were injured, call us now, you know. So you've already got a lot of people going on with that. But
what was fascinating to watch, Raleigh, is he goes, you can't be wrong. He goes, I feel everything, the dizziness, the nausea. Of course you do. Because you know what it feels like before you went on medication.
That's right.
With low blood sugar and your brain's remembering that and triggering it. No, it's not possible.
It is.
It is when they went to the emergency rooms. It's anxiety. It can cause anxiety can cause ulcers.
Anything.
Can cause headaches.
It's worse than that.
For blood pressure.
Oh, absolutely. But serious things like heart attacks, too. I mean, you'd be stunned.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's because one of the... I mean, you take the medication, it's a Band-Aid. It will help, of course.
Well, that's why in the trials, a lot of time, placebos work as well as the drug in question.
Again, there's your mind says, oh, this placebo is going to make me feel, you know.
That's right.
You know, it will do that. How to train yourself with that, how to do that would help.
Yeah.
Of course, breathing and, you know, the breathing sometimes works, sometimes doesn't.
Right.
But it depends on how bad your anxiety is.
Absolutely.
But I've seen it happen right next door to my brother.
Right. And watching it is really something. That's when you really say firsthand, yeah, I believe it now. Absolutely.
I believe it then. I got one quick dumb joke.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
Can I tell it?
Yeah.
A guy was sleeping one day in his house. He hears this noise in his backyard. It sounds like some kind of craft landing in his backyard. He looks out, and it's an alien flying saucer. He gets out, and the alien comes out. He goes, can I help you, Mr. Alien? And on top of his alien craft, it says Alien Gas Company. He goes, Mr. Alien, can I help you? Yeah, take me to your meter.
Oh, God. You didn't. Just you didn't.
I know. That's a dumb one. I know.
Okay, fine. Okay, bye. Thanks for calling.
All right. Mind is stronger than we think.
Yes, it is. You're 100% right about that. All right.
Yes, sir. How can we harness that to do good?
Well, that's exactly it. You know,
make
we can read all about
good.
It, but doing it, you too. Thanks for calling. Yeah, actually putting it into practice, well, that's a little different. But yes, indeed. That's why I love the Louise Hay stuff. You can heal your body. Well, yeah, maybe. I mean, I believe in it 100%. Doing it, well, that's another story. Fran is in Austin. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh. Well, this is a subject that I have a lot knowledge about.
Okay.
Anxiety, that is.
Yes.
I had it probably since I was a child. I just didn't know what it was. We didn't, you know, it was just attributed to my being kind of a brat. just me being a drama queen.
Yeah, right. But, right. Adults around you are saying, you know, she's a little off.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, she's getting so upset about that. You know,
she
needs to, you know, and then there were certain things that they couldn't understand why they would scare me. And I learned how to cover it very well so that most of the time people wouldn't even know that it was going on. I would just like kind of shut up and not talk to anybody and try to get myself to stop racing, you know. But it was hard to do. But the first time I had an actual panic attack, I thought I was having a heart attack. I was in a group of people and something happened where my ride home didn't show up and I didn't think I had any alternate transportation and I was just panicking. And because there was no bus that went from where I was. And I couldn't afford cab fare. And, you know, as fortunately, somebody else stepped up. But, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, I all of a sudden, I couldn't breathe. My heart was going like crazy. And this woman came up and she said, Fran, are you all right? You look white as a ghost. And I said, I need to go outside. Yeah. And I said, I'm having a heart attack.
Ah, yeah, right. You thought you were, absolutely.
And you know, I said, I think I'm having a heart attack or something. And she asked me, you know, what was going on? And I told her, and she said, sweetie, I think you're having a panic attack. And I remember having those when I was younger, but they weren't quite so pronounced. And I did some deep breathing, and, you know, I said, well, I never had a panic attack. What the heck? But, you know, and I've been in therapy for it, and I've learned how to do deep breathing and, you know, just these other things, and or try to concentrate on something else. Or sometimes that's why I'm always saying play something to make me laugh.
Right.
Because sometimes if I can find something that makes me laugh, like, you know, sometimes if I'm really in the height of it, Gary knows me pretty well, and he'll say something funny, and I'll start laughing, and, you know, that'll help. But when after I had the heart attack, I must have gone to the ER I don't know how many times, because every time I had a little pain in my chest.
Right.
And then, you know, as soon as I had the little pain in my chest, then my heart would start racing. I would take my blood pressure, and it was, you know, through the roof. By the time I got to the hospital, it wasn't that bad, and I would feel really stupid because, you know, it's like, well, here I am. You know, I had to take it, call an ambulance and
oh God,
all this stuff. And then, you know, it's just and people who say it's just a panic attack have never had one.
One in four ER visits for heart attack symptoms are panic attacks. So that tells you how high it is. And the people who go, absolutely they're scared witless because the symptoms are very, very real. It is serious. And, of course, you know, if you're absolutely not sure, it's always better safe than sorry. But when you start to get them after a while, you start to know. And, you know, like I always say to John, you know, oh, those are my friends. Those are the symptoms I know, you know. So the symptoms you're familiar with, it's easy to put your mind at ease. But when you're having new ones and they're really scary ones, it's like, what is this? So I understand.
Well, after the last trip I took to the hospital, the ER, which was an absolute nightmare, I won't go into it all because I think I told you about it before. But that was the one where the cab driver left us off at the wrong place at 4 in the morning.
Yeah.
But that was the least of it. I mean, it was just an absolute visit from hell to the ER. And I said, I am not going there again. I don't care if I die right here in this bed. I am not going back there. And in a way, that was good because then, you know, it's like, okay, no matter how I feel, I'm just going to wait through it.
Right.
I'm not going to go, you know, and now maybe that's bad because, you know, maybe something is serious and I'm not going, but, you know, I've been able to, I mean, I haven't had to go there for quite a while. I mean, when it gets so bad that the ER nurses know your name.
Right. Right. Well, what's really bad about that is after a while, they kind of discount whatever you've got. And, you know, that's like crying wolf because the time may come when you've got a real problem and they're discounting it all the way.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, that was what was happening because I was having some other things going on with that. And those were not anxiety related. And so, but nobody was listening to that because, you know.
Right.
And if you're known to have anxiety problems, the doctors don't listen to you half the time. They think it's anxiety.
Right.
And sometimes I was sure, yeah, you know, I know when it is and when it isn't. I know when it is and when it, you know, when it's real and when it's not.
Right.
But after that heart attack, I got really mad at the doctor one time because he said, well, I think you had a panic attack. And I said, no, I did not. I've had panic attacks for years. I know how they feel.
Well, plus, when you have a heart attack, you're diagnosed with such. There are tests that will show that you've had the heart attack. It's not in your mind.
And And so he said, well, you know, you've had a heart attack, and that's very common for people with, you know, who had recently had heart attacks to have
anxiety attacks,
panic disorder, anxiety about it, mm-hmm. you know. So I thought, yeah, right, what do you know?
Yeah, right, exactly.
But,
yeah.
But after that really bad experience, and I just kind of made that choice, I am not going back there.
Oh, I don't blame you.
I mean, I don't think they cleaned the room properly. There were a lot of things.
Oh, God.
But, and there was a lady who was just having a meltdown in there and was just screaming the whole time I was there.
Oh, God.
And I think she hit one of the nurses or somebody. Gary thought he heard some hitting sounds.
Oh, geez.
They were having security up there. I mean, it was just, and then after that, we got let off at the wrong place.
Yeah.
At 4 o'clock in the morning. It turned out we were right across the street from our apartment complex, but we didn't know that.
Right.
And it was, if it weren't for that app that we have, we, you know, because nobody's going to be walking around at 4 a.m. that we can say, hey, how do I get back to, you know, our address?
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, we know how to use our canes and that sort of thing, but we couldn't figure out any, no landmarks looked familiar.
No. Jeez.
And, you know, so it was a mess, but it, the only thing is like how do you control it?
Right, exactly.
You know, I mean, I can control it on some, if I can catch it early enough when it first starts and I first start to have the shallow breathing.
Right.
I can, you know, do my deep breathing, or sometimes I'll just put on a song I really like.
Yeah, know, absolutely.
Just, you know, just totally get into that. If I can't get into something else, then I know I'm in trouble.
Right.
But I'll read, I'll play a song, and, you know, a lot of times when I'm feeling like I'm getting really depressed or anxious, that's when I'm always saying, oh, Raleigh, could you play me some funny songs?
Yeah, absolutely, and I'm always happy to do it.
You, I know, and I appreciate that so much. But anyway, yeah, I really know that there is a mind-body connection to all of this. I just wish I could figure out.
Oh, I know. I know. See, that's the thing. You can read the Louise Hay books till you're blue in the face, and you can look at every symptom that they're, you know, they, what she does is she breaks down every physical symptom and what the mental causation is that caused it. And that's fine. But then being able to do the affirmations and actually change it yourself, well, that's the part that eludes most of us.
Yeah, and now, you know, well, I've been having this problem for a long time, but it's been getting worse with nightmares.
Ah.
And it's just, you know, I've read books about how you can change the dream and all of this, and nothing has worked, you know. And it's getting scarier because what happens now is that sometimes, like usually I'd wake up and it, within a couple of seconds I would be able to reorient myself and know where I was and that I wasn't still in the dream.
Right.
But now when I wake up, sometimes I, you know, it's like reality seems really far away and the dream is just still kind of, you know, going on. And, you know, fortunately I have Gary with me and, you know, he talks to me and, you know, reassures me that, you know, you're home, you know. That, put your foot on the floor. You'll see it's your floor, you know.
Actually, this may be an opportunity, believe it or not, because there's something called lucid dreaming where you can control your dreams and direct them in ways that you want to be. So if you're still having the nightmare when you are actually aware enough to have some lucid thoughts about it, there may be ways, and I'm sure there's a ton of YouTube videos or whatever on this, but there may be ways for you to direct it.
Yeah, because I'll try to wake myself up. I'll move my foot.
Yeah, right.
Or I'll do something. And I think, okay, I'm up now. Like, there have been many times where I think I've gotten up to turn off the radio or something, and I wake up and the radio's still on.
Yeah. Absolutely. But it's something to investigate because people have a lot of success with that.
I've had dreams that have actually happened.
Oh, of course. The precognitive dreams, yeah. And, you know, for many of us, it's not necessarily nightmares, though it can be, as much as just disquieting dreams. What I'd like to know is if there was a bullet so you could, you know, take this and you'd have pleasant dreams. Because John and I both talked about this. Neither of us ever have pleasant dreams. We just don't. Not necessarily a horror show, but never anything good. And so what that means exactly, I don't know, but you're not alone.
Oh, man, you know, I just figure, well, it's dealing with the anxiety that I don't deal with during the day, especially because a lot of them are kind of nightmarish health type dreams.
Very
futuristic science fiction-y kind of dreams where the world's blowing up. I mean, just, you know.
No, I absolutely think it's a continuation of day stuff. We're in the middle of news, as usual. I blew it. So
okay.
We'll talk to you later.
Sorry about that.
No problem.
Okay,
my fault.
Bye.
Okay, bye. I'm Raleigh James. Florence, Alabama rules. I'll tell you what. I always liked the piano riff in that song. It was like my favorite part of it. And turns out it's Floyd Kramer who did that. Arthur Alexander wrote and recorded it. It was on Dot 1962. And that was Billy Bob's request. So there we have it. Now, Mike in Elmwood Park. What's happening tonight, Mike?
How you doing, Raleigh? I got a couple of requests.
Okay, what we got?
Ram-a-lam and ding-dong by the Etzels.
Absolutely.
And how about Don't You Just Know It by Huey Piano Smith.
Oh, yeah. Just Know It. All right. And the Clowns. All right. So, Mike, in Elmwood Park. We will get both of them. Thanks.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah. When that was first released, Ram-a-lam-a-ding-dong, the label copy said Lam-a-ram-a-ding-dong, and they had to do a reprint on that. But some of the early copies, I think you'll actually still see that. All right, Clayton in Indianapolis. What's happening tonight, Clayton? Thanks for waiting.
All right. Hey, Raleigh.
Yeah.
Hey.
Whoa.
Hey.
Yeah, plenty of noise there. You still with it? That's it? And he waited so long, too. Oh, well, he'll call back, no doubt. Clayton develops his own phone systems. And sometimes they work well, and then there are other times. So that will take us immediately to Nick in Northwest Chicago. All right, Nick, what's up?
Hi, Raleigh. I love your little show there. It's, you know, you got some real human beings calling in. You know, some shows got people, just regular people, but they
yeah,
the mark, and they get right to it, and this and that, and 30 seconds later are done. I mean, you got people talk about stuff and all that. It's interesting. I thought I was the only person like them, but there's obviously more like me.
Well, interestingly, I want you to know your request is coming up, because you requested California Girls.
Oh, yeah. I was going to mention that.
It's coming up next.
I don't have to wait like 6 months like the other guy.
No,
he's waiting for 2 years.
Yeah, he was probably, but you'll hear it next.
Okay, oh, thank you. I was going to say, I saw an article, I think it was in a Tribune. I should have read it more carefully before I called you, but I'd have to, like, dig it up a little. I'm a newspaper person and, you know, print material. In fact, my brain is working better. For 2 years, I didn't hook up my TV because I got tired of all the garbage on there. And just reading in a paper, and my brain is working, my memory is working better, you know, and I'm not doing anything different except that I'm reading the paper better. So I'm 76, so, you know, anybody out there is getting older, start doing it. Don't expect results the next day. You know, we can give it at least 3 months, 6 months, and just stick with it. But, I saw a picture with Mike Love, and I think he's the last remaining member of the original Beach Boys, is he?
I don't know. That could be.
Okay.
Yeah, he was the cousin. Yes. Let me look that up, because I don't know.
Yeah.
Obviously.
And he was with George Stamos. And I know somebody of the Stamos name who's here in the Chicago area.
Right.
But anyhow.
It's John. So, I think it's John Stamos, probably.
Or is it maybe John? Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah. With his little lock of dark hair hanging down.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess you got to be a woman who would look at him and find he's a good-looking guy, but he doesn't seem like Elvis was a good-looking guy. I would look at him, you know, before he got plumped up and you know, think, gee, what a great way to be, you know, being Elvis, you know. But anyhow, thank you for that. You're gonna play my song.
And by the way,
this is interesting.
Al Jardine is still alive. He was their friend.
Oh, okay.
Mike Love was their cousin. Al Jardine was their friend. But the Wilsons, the three brothers, Brian, Dennis, and Carl, they're all gone.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, it was a great group. Like I said, I got a DVD I bought of the Beach Boys. I was surprised. It was in a store up in, I guess it's Morning Grove by Central Avenue, too. Mm-hmm. There's a giant shopping center there.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to go south about a block through the buildings, that old-fashioned shopping center before Amazon and all that stuff. Yeah, so, okay, so nice to hear you. I love hearing you on the radio and all your little interactions with your producer and your people calling in, and it's just a fun show to listen to. So, okay, I'll be anticipating the song. I'm getting ready to cheer bop.
All right,
okay?
Thanks. Appreciate it. Thanks for calling. Okay, bye. Yes, indeed, I will. And it's interesting because it was really all Brian Wilson. Well, originally their father, Murray. But Murray passed along to Brian a love of the Four Freshmen and those harmonies. And that's what Brian was trying to achieve. And when you listen to most of the Beach Boy records, you can actually hear the Four Freshmen in his mind, to say the least. And number of things on that, and a lot of people think of Pet Sounds and Good Vibrations and all on the later stuff, but the early stuff is what I liked, actually. All right, so we'll get to Clayton, who is calling back, and there's Room for You Two coming up on WGN Radio.
Girls are hit by really
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, 1965, Capitol Records, Beach Boys, yep, and Brian Wilson wrote and produced, yeah, within every note of that he produced, and so absolutely. That was Carol Kaye who played bass, and on that it was Hal Blaine on drums. So 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh, and we're going to try Clayton again, I do believe. All right, Clayton, are you with us?
Hey, Raleigh.
There you go. Yeah. What's up?
Well, before I actually get to talking about what I'm going to, I was just eating eggs a little while ago. But, and I also built my first ever cordless phone battery.
Oh.
Yeah. 3-cell AA nickel metal hydride.
Huh. Okay. Very good.
3-cell AA pack.
Okay.
Now to get to actually what I was going to be talking about, my housing situation, it's not going to be good.
Well, what's going on?
Well, what happened was, earlier in the summer, I got academically dismissed from the college because I failed to accommodate my disabilities enough, which led to me getting bad grades. Well, I appealed that, had that overturned for the time being. And literally just before my summer two session starts, I get this email saying that my academic dismissal is now effective the fall semester, which means I either have to be, well, because I chose to take a reimbursement on my housing, I have to be out by August 3rd. And so there's a good chance I may be staying in a hotel for a while.
Wow. That's going to be pricey.
Well, but it's either that on the streets or in a jail cell.
No, we don't want that. No, I understand that. It's just a question of how to pay for it. This is not good. I didn't realize you were in that much of an academic, no man's land at this point. So.
Yeah. I've tried to call every single homeless shelter. I've even called Eskenazi to see if they would take me in on, right, like, to see if they would have a bed open for me.
Right.
And they didn't. They can't. I tried calling BOSMA to see if I could apply for their program so I could at least get some respite care.
Right.
But they won't do it because I've actually got a permanent residence. And because I don't, and it's just the college, that's going to be a problem. However, I do intend on returning the spring semester because I still need to get my degree, as I want to telephonic instructor.
Yeah, right. Let's talk about this. Tell me the disabilities, plural. I know it's plural, and what they're not doing to accommodate you.
Well, I'm totally blind.
Right, and they accommodate that, though, right?
All I get is O&M and very like the O&M instructor, but they had to go through a third party to do it because they have nobody on staff. They had to go to BOSMA to do it, and I had to get that set up myself through Voc Rehab, which thankfully is paying for it still. But by the same token, that's like $65 an hour.
But by the way, this is horrifying because blindness is not one of these out there, nobody has this disability. Unfortunately, it's common enough that there should be things in place in this kind of a situation. Now, obviously, there's everything in terms of agencies for the blind. They should be all over this. Now, this is part of Indiana University?
Exactly. It's IU Indianapolis.
Right, and right. So that, you know, let's get down to it. The reality is that the ADA forces them to have these accommodations, and if they're not having them, this is a serious problem. Now, I realize the biggest violators of the ADA are the government and government programs and all that. I know that, unfortunately, but I'm shocked that they're weak on that. All right, so let's put that aside for a moment. What else are you dealing with?
Well, I've got knee trouble. I've got in the right knee, and I can hardly walk anymore. and they're still having me walk down to the community office to get my mail, even though I've specifically told them, hey, I've got bursitis. I can hardly walk. And I was worried that one of the RAs was actually going to have to lift me out of the chair because my knee was acting up so bad. And I recently had that x-rayed.
So you have a doctor that can state the extent of that of your immobility. There again,
right.
you would think now not getting your mail, of course, that's a shame, but it doesn't have anything to do with your grades. How is this impacting your grades?
Well, it makes it hard for me to get tutoring when I need it. It makes it hard because I'm having to deal with the constant stress of how do I get the out, because the route is like a quarter mile long and it winds and has drop-offs on it and everything else. And even my O&M instructor is quite upset about it, and I say I blame her. And of course, I tried to get into a closer building, and the closest building I have is some distance away from the dumpster. And with someone who has actual mobility issues, I've got a walker in my apartment, but it's not in the best condition because I just simply don't have the money to repair it right now. Otherwise, I would have had that thing repaired.
You'd think that there were some agencies, there again, I'm looking at government services, that could supply this kind of stuff.
No, there aren't.
That just seems like I'm missing something here, because there's nothing, no organizations, no charitable, no nothing that deals with this, because you can't be alone.
Well, I'm not surprised because Indiana is like really bad for this kind of stuff. That's the bad part.
That's a shame.
Like Indiana is known to be bad for this kind of stuff
Yeah, it's a real shame because, of course, for the most part, Indianapolis, my experience was there was very good medical care there.
Right. And, of course, my mail doesn't just include regular mail. It includes my incontinence supplies, obviously. And if I can't get those, I mean, we're going to have a mess floor.
Now,
you know what I mean?
No, I believe me, I don't need a description of that. I got it. Believe me, I got it. In terms of, now, are you on SSI or SSDI at all?
I'm on SSI, and my incontinence supplies take out about $500 of that because I go through so much a day.
That's horrifying, and because SSI is not much money each month.
Oh, yeah, trust me. I'm having to actually get approved for a credit card just to stay at a hotel for at least a week. And I'm having to actually apply for a job at Bosma, which I know I'm not going to be able to do. But it's either that or I end up on the street.
Well, the only way you probably get the credit card is to get a collateralized card if you don't have credit, where you, you know, you put the money with them and then you can use it as a credit card on that amount. I don't know who would give you a card without collateralization unless you've got good credit on something else.
The funny part is my credit score is like, 616, which is fair.
Yeah, that's fair. It's middling. Well, how did you amass that? Have you had cards in the past?
I've been using advance apps and paying them back regularly.
Okay. Yeah. Because right now, the last I heard was SSI is about $994 a month in Indiana.
Well, now it's $14, which is still not enough for me.
Hang on a minute. Don't go away. Stay where you are, and we'll pick it up right after the news right here on WGN Radio.
Oh, let's go to Kansas City now. I'm going to Kansas City. Kansas City, here I come. I'm going to Kansas City. Kansas City, here I come. They got some crazy little women there, and I'm gonna
Kansas City, baby, and my bottle of Kansas City wine. Well, I might take a train, I might take a plane, but if I have to walk, I'm gonna fly there just the same. Yeah, Kansas City, here I come.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. It was Cleveland Dennis who wanted to hear that. It was on his first album. It was also a single on Reprise, 1963. Trini Lopez recorded live at PJ's. And PJ's was a really big deal, kind of a jazz-ish supper club originally. And it opened in 1961. In fact, Paul Raffles from Chicago was kind of the head of that. It stood for him and his girlfriend Judy, PJ's. And it was big. In fact, the manager was Elmer Valentine, who wound up leaving and forming the Whiskey A Go Go in 1964, which was just huge, as you know. But PJ's, I mean, this was a who's who. Everybody, all the actors of the day and stuff like that would show up at PJ's. And it was not unusual for a group to do a live album there, whether it was Trini Lopez or the Standells or the Bobby Fuller Four or others. And later, it was 61. And then, I'll tell you, in about 70, 71, Hal Glickman and Eddie Nash and Dominic Lucci bought it. And, you know, they were, I'm not telling tales out of school, I don't think, because it was, you know, alleged to be in the papers and all that, mob ties. And there were minor renovations and all that. And then it got rebranded as Starwood in 73. But 10 years earlier in 63, man, it was all the thing. Everybody who was anybody was seen at PJ's. All right. So now, Clayton, don't go away, because putting you on hold, I don't think I'm hanging up on you. There you go. Because Ken says there's a place for free walkers. All right. So, Ken, what do you know?
I can't believe he's from Indiana, right?
Yes.
He should be able to walk into the doctor and somebody help him and give him a walker. Is he on Medicare? If he's on Medicare, a free one.
I don't think he is. He's young, so he's not going to be of that age. Now, whether he's Medicaid available, I don't know.
Okay, there's a company called Medline.
Right, of course.
There's Medline. My mom, when she was alive,
yeah.
I got four walkers in my brother's garage. I'd be willing to send them one.
Aww.
I don't know why, because all these people from out of that are quote not born here.
Yeah.
They got everything. They got electric ones. Everything. They give them everything. I can't see why he can't get one.
Yeah, I'm gonna.
And he's blind. And he's blind.
Yes.
Wow.
So probably there's a Medicaid component. I'll ask about that, but thank you for the idea. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's called Medline.
Oh, yeah, no, I know Medline well, but you gotta have something like Medicaid or something that'll allow them to give it to you for free. Otherwise, they won't.
Right, because I see everybody here in Chicago, they're not, quote, Americans, have everything, to get everything. Why can't he get it?
Well, let's see what we can do. Thanks, appreciate it.
And if he wants one, I'll send it to him.
Oh, man. Well, that won't be cheap. Yeah.
Well, it's lightweight aluminum.
Well.
You know, I got four of them. And all he has to do is leave John his phone number. And I'll talk to him, because that's ridiculous. Wherever he's at, if it's breaking down, they should order him a new one.
Yeah, I agree.
I see him at Salvation Army all the time.
Well, you're right about that. As far as I've seen that too, and like the Goodwills of the stores and stuff, you do more often than not.
Oh.
All right. Well, hang on. Let me have John get your phone number, and then I'll have John get Clayton's number. Yeah.
Raleigh, can I say one more thing?
Yeah.
What happens to me if I'm having anxiety problems?
Yeah.
Just get out and walk. Do not lay in bed.
Oh, that, yeah, absolutely. If you can walk. Now, that's the problem. If you can, walking is like the number one thing with a bullet. You're right about that. All right, hang on.
Walking.
Yep, it's great. Walking and breathing.
Yep.
I know that sounds stupid to say because we all think we breathe, but no.
It does, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Thanks. Hang on. Don't go away. All right. So how nice. That's terrific. Let me try not to hang up on Ken here. Oh, it helps if I get the right magic twanger. All right, there we go. Now, back to Clayton. Now, Clayton, that's an interesting thing.
Yeah.
Are you on Medicaid?
Oh, funny you should ask. I am on Medicaid, and I've also got United Healthcare through FTJC.
They should be able to get you a walker without a problem.
Yeah, I just don't know, because I don't have transportation to get anywhere either
because
bus system.
Yeah, right, but it should be able to be delivered to you.
Yeah, and with me having to be out by August 3rd, I don't see what I can do about that yet.
You may be able to. I certainly would check around to see who's got what so you know what's available.
Yeah, and about my actual housing arrangement, yeah, I might have to stay at a hotel. Yeah, it's going to cost a boatload of money.
I can't imagine. This is so horrifying to me that there isn't housing for the homeless, so to speak. I mean, they always claim there is. So where is it?
That's what I'm wanting to know.
Yeah.
Where is the housing? And where is housing that doesn't have a horribly long wait list? See, I filled out my Bureau of Disability Services waiver. They haven't gotten to me, although it's going to take about 15 days for them to get to me. But by the same token, it's like it's going to be a 2-year wait after that.
Obviously, I'm not there to know the particulars, but there's got to be a better answer here. Because you're always hearing, like, during heat waves and stuff like that, there's provisions for the homeless or what have you. Well, where are these provisions?
That's what I have us know. And unfortunately, and I hate to be like this, but the system is just so badly broken, especially for people who have disabilities, where they can almost even walk on their own. I mean,
yeah.
I used to be, and that's the thing, I developed all these problems when I got into college.
Okay.
And sometime.
Now, look, have you tried Wheeler's Mission?
I've tried they cannot accommodate my situation. They cannot.
Oh, because you're blind? That's what they're
upon? Yeah, exactly. I'm blind and can barely walk.
Right.
I mean, I'm standing over here with a corded telephone, but I don't have a choice because there's stuff in my way.
Right. All right. Well, accessibility, of course, that's an organization specializing in individuals finding accessible housing, but they might have an idea, at least, where you can go when you don't have the ability to pay for housing.
Yeah, funny story. I tried calling. They literally just go straight to a business signal.
How about IHA, the Indianapolis Housing Authority?
They have those wait lists. I've looked into every possible thing.
Oh,
I've stayed up for like 4 nights straight, and this is potentially going to be the 5th because I'm having to apply for a job that I know I'm going to have a heck of a time doing. Because I just can't afford anything.
Right. No, I get that. I understand completely. I wish that I was more knowledgeable about the direct area, because there's probably an answer here that's just not obvious.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, the social worker here at the college has been trying to, like, point me towards useless referrals, and that was just another one of them. I tried calling them. No answer. Just straight business.
This is just horrifying.
I don't blame you, Raleigh. I mean,
well, no, I understand that, but it's just horrifying to me that there isn't an answer here. And if there is anybody listening to us, particularly if there's somebody in Indiana, but anywhere who has scaled this and has an answer, I'd like to know what it is, because we just say go under a bridge. Indiana,
yeah.
And here's Indiana makes it illegal to camp or sleep or use public property for shelter. So if they won't let you do that, what do they want you to do?
Exactly. I mean, I don't know what they expect me to do. See, one of my caregivers, who was a college friend of mine, she left the college because they screwed her over, basically. They charged her a high bursar bill for, I don't know what. I don't know. Either way, they screwed her over, and they're doing the same thing to me.
There should be some loophole here that takes care of emergencies, because basically what you're saying is you are going to be out on the street, period. And you're saying absolutely nobody is stepping up to help.
Literally nobody. Because I tried calling my grandma, no answer on the telephone. And she even said to me that she's actively rejecting my calls because she doesn't believe my medical needs. We've talked about this before.
Wait a minute. And your grandmother knows you're blind, correct?
Yeah, and she knows I'm incontinent,
right?
But refuses to believe it.
Oh, man. Now, I'm looking for things just while we speak. You've obviously, scoured the internet, so I'm probably not going to find anything that you're not.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, I've stayed up for, like, almost 5 nights in a row now. And I've been just, I don't know, I've been getting little bits of sleep here and there. I'm just running on fumes, and I'm surprised I'm still functioning at this point.
Yeah, no, I get it. It's, okay, Circle City Village. Of course, they're breaking ground, so I don't even know if they're together now, but they're supposedly, they broke ground in March, a micro community, 1200 South Lyndhurst. Phase one of the project, 6 tiny homes. Well, that won't help you because they've already selected their people. So, Yeah.
And the problem is the place that I got to be, any place I'm going to live needs to have a landline phone because I can't hear well enough to even talk on my cell
phone.
Well,
You may not get that. And you also may not get that in hotels because increasingly they're not doing it.
Yeah, I mean, I do know the Hampton has phones.
Hampton's going to be very pricey.
Yeah, that's the price.
Yeah, you're looking at, you know, over $100 a night.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're kidding. You're not kidding.
No, I know I'm
not kidding at all.
I know I'm not kidding, and that will go fast. There's got to be an answer here. I'm missing something, and I hate to be this clueless, but I'm missing something. So keep listening, because somebody brighter than me will have a better answer than I've got. There's got to be something.
I know, and that's the thing. Like, and I've even, like, a transportable car phone. Of course, I've got bad AFib, so I use heart monitors that need power. And if I'm out on the streets, good luck trying to find power for them.
All right, now, let me ask you this. What if you dialed, like, 211 and said, hey, I'm disabled, I need an emergency shelter? Will they be able to come up with something? Like, you've tried Horizon House on East Washington?
Oh, I've tried everything.
Okay.
I've tried 211 and been on hold for hours.
Oh, jeez.
Because they're just so horribly backed up.
Oh, jeez. Well, keep listening. Hopefully we're going to get somebody who's better than I am at this. I feel like I should be better, but it looks like you've gone through everything, and so I doubt I'll come up with something you don't know, but let's keep trying.
Yeah, is John still going to be talking to me?
Absolutely. Hold on. Don't go away. All right, so we'll exchange phone numbers and see about that, but let's put Clayton on hold and see what Fran might know. So, Fran, what can we do, Fran?
Oh, God. He's in a terrible situation because the housing, the shelters won't take him.
Because of the blindness?
Yeah. Yeah. They won't. And I've been through this with other friends. And for one thing, he needs to go to the housing authority. If hopefully he can find some way to get there. And I mean, play it up for all it's worth. It doesn't seem like he has to really play it up much.
Right.
But, you know, he's in an emergency situation and so forth. And another thing it might be a long shot, but at least they might be able to tell him something to do. They have the Indiana School for the Blind there, and I know it's a, you know, it's a school. It's not a rehab center or anything like that, but they might have some ideas of what he can do.
Absolutely. I'd check him out.
And,
you betcha. You betcha.
He needs to go to social services and get some kind of social worker to plead his case. But one of the things is, you know, if you go to the shelters and you're very persistent and you don't have anywhere to go. I knew a guy that they wouldn't take him in the shelters, and they didn't want him in the shelters, so they busted their rears to get him a room in a rooming house.
Good.
That he could stay in. So, you know, it's one of those things where if you're a squeaky wheel, you might get somewhere. And, you know, it's just, I mean, where do you go when the homeless shelters won't even take you?
Right.
You know, it's just...
I mean, what are you supposed to do? And they're saying there's now laws that you can't stay on the street. So what are you supposed to do?
Yeah, that's the thing. And a lot of the provisions that they used to have for the blind, they don't have anymore. And that's been that way for at least 20 years.
Not good.
The mobility training and various other things are just, you know, not as available as they used to be when I was young. I was young at a good time.
Yeah, right, a better time,
people in some ways. Yeah, I mean, you know, now we've got all this technology and some things are better, some things are worse. But, the services are, you know, definitely, they don't make as many accommodations as they used to.
Yeah,
The schools and that sort of thing, and some of the laws have been changed. Where I mean, there are so many holes in the ADA now; it's like Swiss cheese.
Yes,
and, you know, unfortunately, and it's a bipartisan thing. I'm not getting political on you, but you know, there's so much funding being taken out of those services. They're scrambling. They're scrambling to meet the need, and they're more homeless than ever. And, you know, unfortunately, they don't feel, you know, like they might not feel that they could accommodate him. And it wouldn't be a safe place for him to be.
Right.
I knew somebody who had to stay in the shelter, and he got this guy that was supposed to be helping him took everything from him. You know, stole his backpack and everything he had.
Oh, geez.
You know, so, oh, my God, I just, you know, my heart just goes out to him, and especially because I know he's trying everything.
Yeah.
You know, he's not just sitting there and going, you know.
Right.
He's busting himself to try to get something done. And I wish there were, you know, something more positive I could say than, you know, try the Indiana School for the Blind and see if maybe they can give him some resources, and go to the housing authority, or, you know, call the housing authority and explain your situation. I had to do that when my marriage broke up because I was earning almost what my rent was.
Right.
And, so I had to go in, and I fortunately got a worker that was... she kind of pushed me ahead in the line a little bit,
which is
and,
nice.
It was very helpful.
Absolutely, there's something here. I just know it because I
know there's got and also a walker is really not going to help him much if he uses a cane.
I don't think he does, but at this point he's not walking without help.
I mean, I know when I had to use a walker, sometimes I have to use a walker, and then I have to call on my friends for assistance because I can't use a cane and a walker at the same time.
Exactly.
Because I need two hands to use the walker.
Exactly.
You know, so.
Exactly. And then I don't know about religious organizations either in terms of somebody who might be there who could help.
Yeah, they might be able to help.
Good News Ministries
is there. Try even some of the soup kitchens and things like that because they might have some resources.
Yeah.
Now, I know he can't get around, so it's kind of hard. Like, you know, transportation's a problem for me, but at least I have paratransit. But,
Yeah.
And I know that he's had some, he's talked about having some abuse in his family, so that's not an option for him.
No. No, and one thing I would say, I don't know, I hope Clayton's still listening, but I wouldn't mention the phones or anything like that that you might need. That'll come later. Don't say a word about that.
I'm sorry, Clayton. Yeah. I'm sorry, Clayton, but you're not going to get a landline phone in a low-rent hotel. You're just not.
And don't bring it up, because if you become that kind of a problem, they'll just say, sorry, can't help you, and you're completely out.
Right. Yeah, just give them the bare bones. You don't need to tell them
the rest.
Just give them the main. Yeah,
right.
Don't go into that you need a landline phone.
I'm somewhat immobile and I'm incontinent and I can care for myself, but I am blind. You know, the basic, and that's it.
Right. Yeah. Don't go off into that other stuff.
No.
Because that's going to get you nowhere.
Exactly, and quickly.
So. Yeah.
All right. I think we've just ended the show. Thank you for that, Fran. I appreciate you calling back. All right. So big time apologies. I think Clayton has John's gotten his phone number, too. But keep listening, Clayton. 21 hours from now, we'll do it again. Apologies to Chris in South Carolina and Debbie. Oh, Debbie from Wisconsin had some advice as well, and I want to hear it. So 21 hours from now, we will reconvene. Until then, that's a wrap. We thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. But above all, you know what's coming. I thank you for calling. That's what makes the show a pleasure to do. Hope to talk to you tomorrow night. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.
Highway robbery, plus crazy train, and when strife gives you lemons. I'm Grant Marshall, 2020 News. Real news, real stories, real fun. Vision impossible. In New York, a Queens commuter caught a cruel curveball when a bullet blasted through his windshield and struck him in the eye on a busy expressway, cops say. But instead of pulling over, the wounded wheelman white-knuckled it straight to the hospital himself. NYPD detectives are now chasing the trigger puller. Talk about keeping your eyes on the road. Doctors may have treated the injury, but courage carried him there. Bedlam 1-2 Glee. On a Chicago clowntown train, a tube flake boogie as kooky costume-clad characters in Chi-Town cook up a caricature of cuckoo commuters chasing the train. Gong train running features farcically festooned folks hightailing it into subway cars, dressed up as bananas and dinosaurs, even the Grinch and MJ too. Why you ask? The Brat Race offers a sense of cockamamie camaraderie, they claim. Please stand clear of the posing hordes. Lemonade Stand By Me. Monsters stink. A couple of lowlife kids walk up to a lemonade stand in South Boston where a 12-year-old boy and his 11-year-old sis are dishing their delightful drink. Thieves scum to Boston, pull out a gun, cops say, and grab the good Bill Hunting, making off with $50. The lemon vipers are in the wind, but the kids, shaken up, vow to lemonade stand their ground. And that's what's happening. I'm Grant Marshall, 2020 News.